This morning, I'm going to start with an apology. And that Friday morning, I get together with about six or eight guys for breakfast. And we're all from different churches. And one of the guys was telling me on Friday that their church, right, they've been doing video clips from movies. And then talking about the movies, and they've been passing out popcorn at the door. I'm sorry, I don't have any video clips. And that, no popcorn at the door. And that. But I think I have something that's more valuable than that, God's Word. And it's interesting. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 91 this morning. Okay, so you can start turning there now if you want. Now, I've made my living for the last 25 years as a writer. And there's times that you very specifically choose a word. And I think when we get into this passage, it's one of these, you can read it quickly. You can read the passage in a couple of minutes, and that it'll bring some comfort to you. But when you really dig into the words, I think it'll make a big difference in your life. Now, over the last year, I don't know about you guys, but I've had it up to here with conversation about vaccines and what they do and what they don't do. You know, it's like, you know, well, when will the vaccine be available? What will it prevent? How does it work? Are there side effects? Who can take it? How long will it last? You need a booster. Do I have to take it? I am up to here with the whole thing. Right? But like the psalmist, we all need a refuge and hiding place. Right? Now think about the last year and a half. Right? How many have been concerned about COVID? Right? Quite a few, right? How many of you are concerned about the political environment? How many of you are concerned about finances because of COVID or because of the, you know, how many are worried about the prices rising at the grocery store? How many are worried about the empty shelves on the grocery store or the empty shelves for Christmas? Right? You know, it seems to me that the anxiety level is rising. Right? Now, one way you can tell the anxiety level is rising is anger, right? Just the other day, Mary Kay told me that there was a road rage incident out on Manatee, about 53rd, right? I don't know, was somebody killed or just shot? They were killed out on Manatee. And I've seen anger go up everywhere. And frankly, I've even seen it myself, and frankly, I've seen it in some of you over the last year, year and a half. Now, it's interesting. Anger is what the psychologists call a masking emotion. We get angry when we're afraid of something that we feel that we don't have control over, right? Sound like some of the things that we raised our hand about a little bit ago? Yeah. Okay. So, I just wanted to get a quick feel, right? So I pulled a couple of statistics, right? I couldn't find stats for 2020. I imagine they're worse, but I don't know that for a fact. Here's 2019. Right, there were an estimated 1.4 million suicide attempts. Right, it's the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. Over 40 million adults experience an anxiety disorder each year. That's in a population of 330, 340 million people, so that's better than 1 in 10. Right. Okay, so here's Doc Foreman's solution. That's as close as we're going to get to a video slide today. Okay. God's spiritual vaccine. Right? Now, there's no mandate for this vaccine, but I sure hope you want to take it. Right? And I think God has this message for us. The brothers, can you guys, Mark and Matthew, right? They both have T-shirts. Turn around so people can see. Amen. Fully vaccinated by the blood of God. Okay. Amen. Okay. And it's interesting, too, right? One is Mark, the other is Matthew, two of the Gospels. Go figure. Okay. Give him the. I should have just handed him the microphone.
Yeah, I do believe that the Lord gave me this morning during worship for this very purpose.
Go for it.
Okay. Based on your prayer, here's God's answer. Jesus, therefore, was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's straight from our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
To everybody here.
Amen. Okay, now, let's take a look at Psalm 91, and we're going to get into it verse by verse, but we are going to cover the entire thing today. So I'm going to... I'm going to go fast. So buckle your seat belts and your shoulder harnesses, because this is NASCAR time, folks. Okay. Verse 1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Dwells, right? Hebrew, it means to remain, establish, habitation, to keep house. Why we talk about it, we retreat to our dwelling. It's where we live. We don't just visit. It's where we live. We stay there, right? We know what's in the refrigerator. We know what's in the closets. It's where we live, right? But where is that? Right, it's the shelter of the Most High. Right? That's the NIV. I like the way the King James, or actually a little literal translation I use, has it. Right, the secret place of the Most High. Right? We live in a place that the Lord created. It's a secret place. We can live there. Think about that. That amazes me. I don't know about you guys, but I'm impressed by that. Right? The secret place in Hebrew means a cover, a hiding place, protection. Right? We live in God's secret hiding place. Right? Now, I don't know about your house, but I think I can guess. Right? You don't walk into your house with muddy shoes. Don't my house, I'll get in trouble with Mary Kate if I pull that. Right? Well, I don't think the Lord would have us walk into his secret place with muddy shoes either. Well, what are muddy shoes? It's the sin in our life. All right? Exodus 3:5. God said, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. All right? Now, why is that important? Right? Well, let's face it. We all know this is true. When there's sin, active sin, unrepentant, unconfessed sin in our lives, we don't want to be near God. Frankly, we're going to be AWOL from that secret hiding place. Right? Let's go back to the verse again. Right? It says that once we're in the shelter, we're going to rest in the shadow. Right? Now, if you're in the shadow, that means you're close to something. Right? So it means that we're going to be resting close to God. Close to God's shadow. Right? How comforting is that? Right? And notice too, right, that you know we're not close to the shadow of the some mighty, only mighty on Sunday. Right? We're close to the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty. Think about that. That's the shadow that we're in when we're in that shelter. I don't know about you, but that brings some comfort to me. Right? Now, this is a conditional promise. Right? Pastor Darren talks about this. It's an if-then. If we do this, God will do that. If we dwell, then we will rest in the shadow. If we dwell, we will rest. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I'm going to break this verse down. Right? Refuge, in Hebrew, hope, shelter, trust. Fortress, castle, defense, stronghold. Right? Think about a castle, right? It has a moat all the way around it and a drawbridge. Right, it probably has towers. Right. This is personal, right? It's my God. It's my God. This is personal. This is me and God. One on one. I was about to say mano a mano, but that would be wrong. It's mano mangado. It's personal. Right. Now, I have to ask the question, do my actions and what I say match, thank you, my trust? It's just saying that my trust is really in the Lord. And I'm going to give you a harsh example. You know, I'm blessed to get to see and pass on so many of the different prayer requests that we send out by text. And truly, it really is a blessing to know all the things. And that. How often, though, do we tell God what the solution is? Is our trust in what I can understand, or is my trust in His solution? Sometimes His solution is not ours. I would contend it's better, and I think we'll get into that a little later. But, right? Do I trust God in sickness, in finances, in my relationships? Verse 3, surely He will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. Right. Now, fowler, that's a word we don't use much anymore, right? The base word is fowl, bird. We don't really use that much anymore either. And that, well, the fowler's job was to entice and snare a bird. And let's see, I never use the pointer. Can I? Yeah, I won't bother. That's okay. Red thing, yeah. I don't know how to turn it on, dear.
No worries. All you have to do is press that button.
That button? Oh, it's that button? Okay. Okay, cool. Oh, wow. Hey.
New toy.
Hey, really? Okay. But, you know, okay. Now, look at the way this is constructed, though. It's bigger here. There's bait inside. And the bird goes in to the bait. But now he can't get out. All right, now, what's in our life that's like the bait for the bird? The sin in our life, right? It looks like it's going to be tasty. We get closer and closer and closer, and all of a sudden we realize that we're trapped. Now, what does the text tell us, right? Well, the King James puts it a little different. He says, he shall deliver thee from the snare. Right? The Hebrew for that word is to snatch away. Right? Picture yourself stuck in the trap here. Right? God's hand snatches you out of it. Picture that. Right? You have a sin in your life. You have a fear in your life. You have something that concerns you, that's keeping you from sleep at night. And God's hand snatches you out of that trap. Right? Now, when we don't have the Lord to deliver us out, we try to substitute all kinds of things. Right? And some of them are, you know, obvious sins. Alcoholism, drugs, and that, you know, and oh, everybody knows, okay, well, you know, the drug addict, that's a very bad thing in that. But what about things like workaholism? All right, can I bury myself in my work and that and turn that into a sin? All right, can I bury myself in my hobbies? All right, social media, video games? We can bury ourselves in so many of those things, right? So the question I have to ask myself, and probably I hope you ask yourself, is, what's snaring you? What's pulling you in right now? Who has the microphone to Miss Natalie?
I believe, too, that not only will he take you out if you've gotten snared, mm-hmm. but he gives you a way out before you ever get there.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, that's perfect. So you set me up. You absolutely set me up, Natalie. Thank you. And I can tell you for a fact, we all know when we're being tempted, right? We all know when we're being tempted. And if I ask the Lord to take the temptation away, and I really mean it, sometimes I don't, but when I really mean it, he will take it away or help me to overcome it. and that I don't have to enter the snare. Right, now notice in verse 3, it talks about a deadly pestilence. Right? Now, for the last year and a half, we've been facing a deadly pestilence. Right? We've been in a pandemic. Right? In that. But the very worst thing that can happen with COVID, if I'm a believer, is that I join the Lord in heaven. Now, some of you heard me say, you know, I love it here in Bradenton. You know, I'd like to live long enough to see grandkids and spend more time with a whole bunch of friends and family. But I think heaven's probably a little bit better. You know, so the worst that COVID can do to me is deliver me into the Lord's hands. You know, what did Paul say in the New Testament? You know, he wanted to stay to bless the Jews, but it's actually better to be in heaven. But think about it, right? So COVID could only destroy my flesh, cannot destroy my spirit, right? But sin can destroy not only my flesh, but it also attacks our spirit. Sin in our lives is much more deadly than COVID. Right? I wonder if we worried about as much about sin as we did about COVID, how our lives would be different. I wonder what would happen if we had masks for sin. How many people would be masked up? Something to think about. Verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. This verse is just pregnant. Look at the picture of, you know, what is that? Is it a duck? Goose? Swan, thank you. Okay, you can tell I'm not a fowler. But look, the little ones are hidden under the wing, right? And, you know, the Old Testament folks, they would have known this, right? Right, but look at how this verse is written, right? It's his faithfulness. It's his faithfulness, not mine, that counts. Because truthfully, I'm not all that faithful. I wish I was. Right? Deuteronomy 7:9 tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commands to 1,000 generations." He is faithful. Right? King James has it that his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Right, well, what is his truth, right? Well, Mark, tag your verse.
Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus Christ is the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. So what this is saying is that Jesus shall be thy shield and buckler. But what is a shield and buckler? Right. Well, a shield, we've got one back there by the, you know, coat of armor. And that, yeah, Scott, I don't know, can you raise that thing? I don't know how heavy it is. And I believe that's fairly accurate to what a Roman soldier would have carried. Okay, now obviously a Roman soldier is a little bit later. This psalm was written before the Roman soldiers were running around with those shields. But now a buckler, right, there's a word that we don't use anymore. Right? The word in Hebrew means something that surrounds the person. So that's saying that Jesus is my shield and surrounds me. Oh, a lot better than body armor. Right? Okay, verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Now, I have to clarify something here. Okay, some people want to interpret this chapter of Psalms to say that bad things won't happen to, quote, good people, We won't get into the no, none are good except Jesus. We don't have to go there. This particular verse tells us that that's not true, right? Because it does say that arrows will fly. It doesn't say that if you know the Lord and you dwell in that secret place that there will be no arrows. It does not say that, right? It doesn't say that there won't be pestilence or plague and that the plague will destroy. It does not say that, right? But what it does say is we need not fear. Right now, your son William, he disappeared, right? He's not. He was wearing a T-shirt this morning with a cross that said, "Fear not." I don't know, the Lord might have planned that. We do not need to fear when the arrows are flying overhead or the pestilence. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Remember, this is conditional. Right, if we stay in his shelter and away from sin, we will see others that suffer results of sin. We all know it's true that sin comes with it pain and suffering. It just does. Right? It's the way it is. It can't help it. And if you get drunk on Saturday night, you're going to be hungover Sunday morning. That's just the way it is. Right? You're promiscuous and cheat on your spouse, there's going to be a comeuppance sooner or later. That's the way it is. But if we stay in his shelter, we will see others suffer the results of sin, but not suffer ourselves. Right? The other part on this verse I find fascinating says, you will only observe with your eyes. Right? Now, it's tempting for me. It's times that it's like, boy, I want him to get his. He's a stinker. He's a bad guy. I want him to get his. That's not where my heart should be, right? My heart should be that that person would come to the Lord and would join me in the secret place. That's really where my heart should be. So he's saying, I will observe with my eyes, but my heart will not be poisoned by it. Verse 9, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Right? Bad things happen to good people, right? You want proof of that? Oh, I'm being told to move. I'm ringing in the speaker. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You wonder if bad things happen to good people. Well, the only good is Jesus, right? And he was crucified. Right? So bad things do happen to people as part of the world, right? But the Lord makes good out of bad, right? Right, we're told in Romans 12:2, right? And this is probably my life verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, don't get sucked in. Don't let fear take over your life. Don't let anxiety take over your life. Right? Be conformed to Jesus. Have the mind of Jesus. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Right? God doesn't promise that bad things won't happen, but rather that you won't fear them. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Remember we got a verse or two back? Jesus is the truth, right? That surrounds us. That's our shield and our buckler. I have overcome the world. It's the same Jesus. Whoops. All right, now, it's hard for us, right? My brother-in-law is a pilot, right? And, you know, pilots, they'll talk about visibility. You know, it's 2 miles, 10 miles, clear, whatever. Well, my visibility It's probably 80 or 90 years, right? And I only can see or only know what I know. And much as I'd like to think I know everything, no comments, please. I get a giggle here from my wife. I don't know why I set her up like that. It's because I don't know everything, that's why. Right? But now think about God's visibility. God's visibility is eternal. It's not 80 or 90 years, it's eternal. From, I was going to say, beginning to end, but there is no end in it, right? He knows everything. He's omnipotent in it. Now, his visibility is a whole lot better than mine in it. So that would mean that his answers, when he says that he turns good out of evil, and that's what he says in Romans 8:28, and that we can believe him. We might not always see it because our visibility is short. His is long. Right now, we all know this passage, right? And we love to quote verse 8:28. But we've got to look at 8:29 as well. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, right? And some of you heard me say, you know, you see these situations, you go, oh man, this is a real first-class mess. This is terrible. I don't know how God's going to work good out of this, but I can't wait to see it, right? But we need to remember verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And as I think Pastor Darren said, that's the main thing, to be conformed to his image. And the things that we see as bad in our short visibility, quite often, they're designed or used to conform us to the image of Christ. Verse 11, for he will commend his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Angels, in Hebrew, to dispatch as a deputy, a messenger of God, ambassador. All right, now we've all seen the cute little Valentine cards with the angels and their harps and foolishness. Well, I can tell you from firsthand experience, angels are scary. Angels are not little creatures. They are God's rangers or seals in that. But they also provide comfort, right? Now, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Right? Remember what it said about a fortress? We talked about God being a shield and Jesus being the shield and the buckler. Right? He sends the angels to encamp around us, surround us like that buckler. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits set to serve those who will inherit salvation? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will inherit salvation. The angels are ministering spirits. When we face these anxious situations, the Lord will send angels to us. Now, last four verses. These are promises of the Lord. Okay, his voice. The Lord is speaking here. 13, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. The Lord's telling me not to do that joke. Okay. Right now, who is the lion and the snake? It's Satan. Right? When does Satan first show up in Scripture? In Genesis, he shows up as a snake. Right. In the New Testament, in 1 Peter 5:8, he's mentioned that your enemy, the devil, will prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The devil is the lion and the snake. And yet it says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. All right, now it's fascinating. This time frame, when battles took place, right? The losing side, the winners would often take the losers, place them face down on the ground, and then put their foot on their back or on their neck. The victors tread on the losers. God is saying that we're going to tread on Satan. We're going to see him prostrate on the ground with our foot on his back. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, Peggy, in that. Because, yeah, it's not in my power. It's in Jesus' power. And that I should not take glory. It's not glorifying Gary. It's glorifying God. Right? But wouldn't you like to place the foot on the back of the worry and fear in your life? Wouldn't you like to face COVID down? Wouldn't you like to face the concern that you're going to lose a house or whatever down? Put your foot on its back, on its neck? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Verse 14. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. What a powerful verse. All right. Well, that's actually, I want to do that, right? I want to do that. I was searching what my slide said. All right. Put your name in place of he or him, okay? Because Keith loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue Marcia. I will protect Brett. For Matthew acknowledges my name. Think about that. Right? Right, now, the King James, again, has it a little bit different. And the King James tends to track more to a more literal translation, which is why I keep going back to it. Right. Again, this is a conditional promise. Right? This isn't. This is if we do this, the Lord will do that. Because he has set his love upon me. That's the condition. I have to set my love upon him. Well, how do I set my love upon the Lord? Well, Scripture tells us. In fact, it's actually Jesus tells us in John 14. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Now let's look at what God promises. If we love him, we obey his commandments, what he will do. All right. Well, it says that he's going to defend us. He's going to set him on high, right? The Hebrew says defend, exalt, be safe, be too strong, right? God is going to make us too strong. Oh. Because he hath known my name. Right? It's interesting, the Hebrew for that is yada, right? And the people go, oh, yada, 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 as if it's meaningless, right? Well, the exact opposite is the truth. The exact opposite is true. Right? This is the same known that is used in Genesis when Adam knew Eve and created a child. Mixed audience, I won't go into details in that. But the point is, this is a very intimate knowledge because we have known the name of the Lord. This is very personal. This is intimate. I know the Lord. Right. Now, when we look at the word name in Hebrew, right, what it basically means is that I know about that person. Okay. It means you know the character of that person. You know what's important to that person. You know what they care about. You know what they don't care about. Right? We need to know the name of the Lord. We need to know the name of Jesus. Well, that is, shame is actually the Hebrew word for it.
I got you. Okay.
And that, yeah, and I, yeah, it just happens to be the word it happens to be a word in English.
Gotcha.
And that, yeah. Verse 15 and 16. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My goodness. Right? This is a promise from the Lord, right? I will call on the Lord. We do that with our prayer, whether it be in our prayer closet alone, whether we do it by text message, whether we do it on a patio, when we do it here as part of worship. We call on the name of the Lord, right? In answer, in Hebrew, pay attention, respond. Right? God says if we pray to him, he will pay attention to us. I don't know how to put that in context. The creator of the universe is paying attention to little old Gary. Right? That's mind-boggling. Right? That's kind of a head exploder. And it also to respond. Not just pay attention, but God responds. Right? Now he promises that I will be with him in trouble. Right? That he will accompany us. That's the Hebrew. He will be beside us. Right? You know, there's times when I've gotten to pray with one or another person, people, when they're in a time of trouble. And what the Lord tells me to remind them is that the Lord is beside them, that they're not facing the trouble alone, that the Lord is there with them going through the trouble. Whoops. Right. It says, I will honor him. Right? Right. Now, honor in Hebrew is make glorious, prevail. The Lord says, I'm going to honor him? The God that created the whole universe is going to honor you and me? That's what he says. That's his promise. I'm not going to doubt him. Not if I'm smart. Right? He says, we'll deliver. Right? We've talked about that. We'll satisfy. Right? Satisfy to be have plenty of. But here's the kicker. All right. I will show him my salvation. Salvation in Hebrew is Yeshua. That sound familiar? In English, it's Jesus. I will show him my salvation. In Hebrew, Yeshua means saved, deliverance. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Or his word to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But that's not just true for Joshua. Hebrews tells us it's true for us. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So, I encourage you. Yes.
May I say one thing before?
Of course you may.
Yeah. So, what I read in that, based on what you're telling me, verse 16, because somebody could take that if they didn't know what it said and say, okay, well, if I don't, somebody doesn't live a long life, then obviously Jesus doesn't love them.
Mm.
But doesn't say that.
No.
From what you're saying, what I want to make sure we all understand is, it's verse 16 is saying, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my Yeshua, right? My salvation.
The salvation.
So what you're saying
is,
so that when we talk about Jesus, we know that he provides, he says, he who has the Son has life, and he who has the Son, who does not have the Son, does not have life. So he's talking about eternal life.
Yes.
So that life with Jesus begins whenever we get saved, when we become mm-hmm. born again, and that long life is because we are satisfied in Jesus Christ. We have the long life with him throughout eternity.
Yes, yes, thank you. I meant to point that out, and I forgot.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no,
so
you,
that's, but I think that's
yeah, you're
that's
absolutely
awesome,
right. Yeah, it's talking about eternity is yeah. what it's talking about here. It's not talking about life here on earth. And that, can we bring the mic back to Nicole?
Thanks. I just felt compelled to weigh in and go back to verse 4 just for a second. Verse 4b. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth. And we said, yes, Jesus is the truth. But I want to say Satan's second trait. You know, we know his first trait is pride. Mm-hmm. And what defines him after that is that he's a liar.
Yes.
Right? He mm-hmm. is a liar. And he has the power over this domain. And there is a web of lies. Pretty much our worldly world is a web of lies. And it is difficult for us to see sometimes to the truth. But what protects us from that web of lies is Jesus, is his truth. We must believe that the truth is more powerful, is more real, just like Neely alluded to in worship. When Peter looked down, it was easy to look. It's real in a superficial sense that there's waves and that's real. But Jesus was more real. He transcends that. His truth is the ultimate, right, the transcendental truth. And how do we shield ourselves? How does that truth become our buckler and our shield? It goes back to one, to dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, dwelling with him, spending that time, logging that time. To me, that verse has always meant the prayer closet, right? And whether that prayer closet is driving to work because you have a commute, but it's that time spent dwelling in the secret place of the Most High where he reveals his truth to our heart. And it gives, that's when we have now the courage. And, right, we're mm-hmm. fortified. He is my shield, my buckler. I know the truth and I will not be afraid of these things, right, that are his lies mm-hmm. that are surrounding us.
God bless you. No, you know, and Nicole, I think that's a very good summary in that, you know, when, if it's my dwelling, I don't just show up occasionally. I'm there every day. Well, maybe I go away on a vacation every once in a while, but, and maybe that's appropriate too, okay, that, you know, let's face it, none of us are perfect Christians, okay. There's times when we get distracted by whatever, and maybe, you know, we don't do anything, you know, we in that. But every day, do I spend time in prayer? Do I spend time in the Word? Do I spend time in study? Am I listening to you know, appropriate music, teaching, and that? Yeah, so no, thanks, Nicole. Pastor
Sorry,
D, you've
I
got...
Just, yeah, I just have one more, and then I'll try to...
No, that's great.
You know, as Nicole was talking, it just reminded me of that scripture verse, you know, that says... In Colossians, I believe, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
there's a difference between just reading it and getting mm-hmm. it in your head,
yeah.
than having it enter your heart and the home of your life and making it a part of your home in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a wonderful gentleman yesterday at the memorial service, and he was telling me that, you know, he was very much involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, Youth for Christ, all this. Mm-hmm. And then how he had walked away from the Lord. And one thing that he's coming back, and now he's realizing, he was wondering, why, how did that happen? He had such a heart for God, so young, you know, in his younger years. How did he stray? And he was just sharing me. It was beautiful what he was saying. He said, now I'm realizing I didn't have that root in the Word. I just thought, I'm good. I can handle it. I love the Lord. He knows my heart. But I didn't have that Word constantly being refreshed in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. And because I didn't have that daily, everyday renewing, it was a slow fade and it sucked away. And now he's realizing it's because I wasn't renewing my mind daily with the Word of God. And he said, that's where the power, that's where the foundation, and that's where the rooting comes from. And I just want to share that with everybody in Jesus' name.
Thanks, George. Did you do that or did I do that? Thank you. To put it a different way, and that if I'm visiting your house, I don't know what's in your refrigerator. If I dwell, if I live there, I know what's in the refrigerator, right? If I dwell in the house of God, I'm familiar with his word. Right? What is it? You know, tell us to, you know, bury the word, and then when we need it, it'll be available. Right now, I used, you know, Psalm 91 as an analogy for a vaccine in it. But, you know, you think about what a vaccine does, right? The questions that we were asking about the COVID vaccines, right? And that, well, who can take it? Anyone who knows the Lord can dwell in the secret place of the Most High God Almighty. Right? When will it be available?
Now.
Right now. You don't have to wait. There's no waiting line. You can have it right now. What will it prevent? Pain, fear, anxiety, suicides, depression, internal damnation. Right? This is what it prevents. Right? Are there side effects? Yeah. Yeah, they're all good. They're all good. They're all good. Yes. Thank you. Right? How long will it last? You know, in fairness, I think we do need a booster shot. What we talked about, the dwelling, we need a daily booster shot for this. And that, but you know what? There's no pain. It's not like, you know, you get the COVID and, you know, you run a fever for 2 days or whatever. None of that. Right? Do I have to take it?
No.
No. You know, the Lord doesn't have a vaccine mandate. He doesn't have it. And that, but he invites you. So my hope is that we would all take Psalm 91 as the Lord's vaccine and live a better life in that. And, you know, if you don't know the Lord in that, please come see me after we finish here. And if you do, join me in prayer. Father God, Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son, Lord, to be the truth and the key to that secret dwelling place that you invite us to make our home, Lord, a home with you, a home under your wing, a home under your protection, where you deliver us, where you honor us, where you even exalt us, Lord, in a place where we fear no evil, where we're conformed to the image of our Savior. We thank you for all these things. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to remember these things tomorrow and weeks and years from now, Lord. Let it truly be a place where we live. I mean, I know I've heard sermons and forgotten them within the hour. But Lord, I ask that you'd use this, not that my words are important, Lord, but your truth is important, that it would change lives It would make a difference how we act tomorrow and the rest of the days we have here on earth, Lord. And we thank you in the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. And all God's children said, amen. 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 Thanks, everyone.